Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege once again to gather like this. Thank you because our eyes hear the show. Thank you because our ears hear. Thank you for receptive hearts. Thank you for light that is in your word. The light shall flood every mind and every heart. Thank you for natural faith and power. Thank you for togetherness and comprehension and participation. We give you praise for your power is present to heal and dispel every sickness, disease, and infirmity. We call every pain gone in the name of Jesus. Every condition, every situation, every case in the body be healed and be gone in the name of Jesus. Thank you because our minds are open to your word. And thank you because our hearts are open as well. Thank you, O God, because we are touched, changed, and transformed by your word and by the power of your spirit. We give you all of the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name and amen. Hallelujah. All right, greet three people before you take your seat. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, this evening, we want to look at the subject, growing up spiritually. Growing up spiritually. And, of course, it's a crucial subject, not only when it is taught, but because that is what happens to us, or that is what is expected to happen to us as believers in Jesus, especially in the local church. Amen. So that's why it is crucial. And it is important that we listen attentively, open our hearts to see what God has to say at this time. Amen. And I trust, Lord, that our hearts will be wide open to receive, and it will affect our thinking, and it will transform our Christian life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, Matthew 28 and from verse 18 to 20, but let's read from 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Learn to remind yourself again and again that God is ever faithful. Learn to remind yourself again and again and again that God is a faithful God. He is ever faithful. He can be called faithfulness. Faithful he is. Faithful he always will be. Regard him as faithful. And surely your mind will always be tuned to his word and to the promptings of his spirit. And surely you would reckon and regard him as the one who is able to do and always willing to do for you. Learn to remind yourself again and again and judge God faithful. Amen. Praise God.
Okay.
So in Matthew 28, like we just read, Jesus said to the 11 disciples, okay, to stay in a particular place. Okay? It says, he went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And of course, when it comes to discipleship, you cannot overlook or overrule instructions. You cannot. Okay? Of course, there are 11 here because Judas had done what he did and couldn't forgive himself and, of course, killed himself. All right? So, and they are called disciples because they really were disciples. Okay? A disciple is one who is a student of another, or a follower of another. Okay? Or one who gets instructed by another. That's a disciple. So, it shouldn't look funny, right, when we read verse 16 that says that the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, right? Where he had appointed them. Okay? And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted, right? And then in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, of course, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, verse 19 and 20 will be the instructive verses in this teaching. Well, not necessarily our text, okay? But like I said, I use the word instructive. In verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Okay, and the word teach, of course, as we know, is the word matheteuo, matheteuo. Okay, so it's a word that means to become a pupil or a student. To become a pupil or a student. It's also a word that means to disciple. To disciple, in bracket, make disciples. Or make a disciple, if we're going to just follow the tense. To disciple, in bracket, make a disciple. That is, to enroll as scholar. Okay? The last definition will be to instruct. Okay? So, firstly, to become a pupil or student. Secondly, to disciple, bracket, make disciples. That is, to enroll as scholar. Thirdly, to instruct. And from what you see here, the word teach will be the duty, right, of the disciples of Jesus to the nations, right? Hey, are you there? The duty of the disciples of Jesus to the nations, to make become a pupil or student, or to disciple, or to make disciples, or to enroll as scholar, and then three, to instruct. Okay? So, the nations, by the authority of Jesus, received post-resurrection, or can say in the resurrection, became potential students or disciples of the disciples of Jesus. Does that make sense? The nations, by the authority of Jesus, which he obtained post-resurrection or in the resurrection, became students or disciples of Jesus. Became students or disciples. Well, of Jesus in his context, but so as to point to the disciples. It doesn't matter. Are you there? Okay. So, that word teach, like we said earlier, that's the work, the responsibility of the disciples. What they have to do to the nations or with the nations. Now, from the definition of that word, we see what the nations will become. Are you following this? Okay. So, from defining that word, we see what the nations will become. Like we have said earlier, we just said that in that a little lengthy statement. The nations will become students, disciples, pupils. Okay? Because Jesus instructed or authorized his disciples. Okay? Now, if Jesus instructed post-resurrection his disciples to do this, can we say making disciples is therefore the expectation of the Father on the earth? Can we say that? Making disciples is the expectation of the Father in the earth. Now, technically speaking, a man doesn't qualify to be a disciple until he believes the gospel, right? But we can say that God expects every man to be a disciple, to be a student, or the destiny of every man is to become a disciple, a student, a follower, okay, of Jesus Christ. But faith in the gospel qualifies you for that. So can we say that the Father's expectation of those who have believed is to become students or disciples of Jesus Christ? Can I say that right? Okay. So that means whoever takes on this responsibility given to the disciples of Jesus by Jesus Christ must ensure that this plan of God, this agenda, this expectation of God is achieved in the lives of men. Would that be correct too? Are you in church? So the destiny of men in Christ in the earth is to be disciples. Okay? Students. Pupils. And, the many other words. those who get instructed. Pardon me to say, ahead of time, the doctrine of Christ. Those who get instructed in the doctrine of Christ. Amen. Those who get instructed in the doctrine of Christ. Of course, the word Matthew, from the word Mathetes, and then Mathetes from Mantano. Mathetes is, what's it called now? Simply means disciple or a learner. Okay, then Mantano speaks of that role or the work, the action word that means to understand or to cause to learn. Are you there? To understand or to cause to learn. Amen. Now, after verse 19 in Matthew 28, 20 further says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And if you look at that verse closely, it carries the definition of discipleship. Okay? It carries the definition of teach, matheteo, to make disciples. Because if you're going to be teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, is saying to them to make them students. Simply put, get them to begin to do what I have commanded you. Get them to follow you. Get them to understudy. Get them to become students, pupils. Of the gospel through you. Okay, so again, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Again, in verse 20, like we said in 19, the expectation of Jesus Christ in this verse is for the nations to do, amen, to do as he has commanded his disciples. Right? Jesus' expectation is for the nations to do as he has commanded his disciples to do. Does that make sense? I believe you can clearly see discipleship, apprenticeship, right? Studentship. What other ship? Amen. In Mark 16, get on to Mark. Mark chapter 16. And from verse 15, of course, to 20. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, you speak with new tongues, you take out serpents, and they drink and deadly, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, or with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, it seems to be in Matthew that what you will see is to learn the word. Okay, but if we're going to be practical, sincere, and of course see in truth, we'll see that Matthew wasn't one-sided in any way. We can only read that into what he said. But I want to use that to say this. And in Matthew, it seems like the word. And the word, okay? Then in Mark, the things of the Spirit. I haven't talked about believing. The next thing is the supernatural. These supernatural indications shall follow. Right? And then also highlighted in verse 20, that the Lord worked with the disciples of Jesus as they preached everywhere and confirming the word they preached with signs following. Are you there? With signs following. So, if we're going to look at it that way, let me just say it like this. If we're going to look at it that way, we would have to take Matthew and Mark together. All right? I hope you get me clear. I'm not saying that Matthew said the word alone. But if we're going to look at it that way, okay? In Matthew, the word. In Mark, the spirit or the supernatural. Growth must be in the word and the spirit. Like I wrote in my note here, growth in the word and the spirit is full growth. Okay? Is full growth. So that means we ought to see growth in the spirit in Matthew, right? We ought to see growth in the word in Mark. Are you there? So, if Jesus says, these signs shall follow them that believe. And that is an instruction to his disciples, right? And that instruction taken from Matthew will be, I didn't say taken from Matthew, right? I didn't say it was taken from Matthew. Will be discipleship, right? That instruction is to make disciples. Make them students. Enroll as scholars. Instruct. So that means in signs and wonders and miracles, or in supernatural indications, God expects growth from those that believe. Are we in church? God expects growth from those that believe. So again, growth in the word and the spirit is full growth. Growth in the word will simply be to increase in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1 verse 9, we read that to begin the service. For this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Okay? So, increase in the word. And not just mere increase. Increase in understanding. Increase in understanding. Growth in the word. That's what it is. Okay? So, growth in the spirit, amen, would have to do with increase as well, right? So, maybe from 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. So, I want you to grow concerning the things of and that pertain to the spirit. Amen? I want you to grow in that. Okay? And growth in that will be in knowledge or understanding and in manifestation. Increase in knowledge and in manifestation. Now, you can please put a slash or effectiveness. So that we just use that one statement to take everything. In understanding and manifestation or effectiveness. Okay? That will be growth in the things of and that pertain to the spirit. Amen? Growth in the things of and that pertain to the spirit. So again, from Matthew 28:19-20, and let's say Mark 16:17-18, the Father's expectation of those that believe the gospel is growth or increase in the word and the spirit. Hallelujah. Okay? So, you cannot be a disciple and not be growing. The essence of discipleship is growth. Amen, amen. So, let's say this by the side. So, it therefore means that claiming growth in the absence of discipleship is questionable. Does that make sense? Claiming growth in the absence of discipleship is questionable. Discipleship is growth, right? It is for growth. It is to bring about growth. The essence of discipleship is growth. And then we said it the other way to factor in, but I don't want to go on that side again. To factor in the local church, that to claim growth without discipleship or in the absence of discipleship can be questionable. Amen? Now, what is the word of God for? In Mark 4, Jesus tells us that the word of God in the heart of man is for fruitfulness. Of course, the parable of the sower, right? For fruitfulness. Mark 4 and verse 8. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit. So that was the essence of the sowing, to yield fruit. The other three grounds, okay, did not yield fruit, but the ones that fell on good ground did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Okay? So that was the desire of the sower. Are you there? That was the lesson in the parable. By the time you look at the explanations, from verse 13 to 20, again in verse 20. You tell me, thought this sounds, seems to be echo. In verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Look at verse 19. It says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the loss of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh what? Unfruitful. So the essence of the sower sowing the word in the heart of men is fruitfulness, right? So the word comes for fruitfulness. The word is for fruitfulness. John 15. I am the vine, from verse 1. I am the true vine, rather. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth. He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Of course, it's important to see that the word taketh away is not the way it seems. Okay? It's a word that actually means to lift up, it suggests to help. Okay? I mean, you should be used to this from Genesis, right? Not that, God wanted Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of life, but they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then he sent them out away from the tree of life that they need. Are you following this? When you see things like that, don't reason that way. There's a way it's written that way, and it must not corrupt the way you should reason. Are you there? Are you following this? Okay? So, in this point too, okay, he wants us to bear fruit, but the one that has not bear fruit, he takes it away. The one that now bears fruit, he now purges. No, it will help so that fruit will come. Amen. Now let's follow. I just said that to help our thinking. So what do you see in verse 2 again? John 15. Fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And you see that? Without me, ye can do nothing. Look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear what? Much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Glory to God. So what Jesus and the Father expect of the disciples of Jesus is fruitfulness. Amen? Fruitfulness. Much fruit. Much fruit. You bear much fruit, then you are my disciples. You bear much fruit, then you are my disciples. In Genesis chapter 1, from verse 2 to 5, where it all began, I mean the narrative of the word in the heart of men for fruitfulness. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Can you see from Genesis 1, 2, what God will do is to cause fruitfulness. Not to see, oh, there's darkness in the heart of men. Pum, let's kill all of them. Let's take them away. Let's take the branches away and throw them out. No, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, the darkness called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay? So there was darkness, of course, in the hearts of men, right? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen? So, there was fruit. Results. The word of God yielded in men. Now, in verse 4. Sorry. I think I'm mixing that up. John 1, of course, John was explaining from Genesis 1. John 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay? It then says, and the light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Now, it can be read like this in the Greek Bible. In him was life, and the life was the development of men. In him was life, and the life was the development. Light brought about increase, growth, transformation, change. Amen? So, from the beginning, God's expectation on the earth has been fruitfulness, growth, development by his word and by his spirit. Genesis 1, 2, the Spirit of God moved and God said, let there be light. And there was. Okay? So, that won't change. Amen? And that's why in Matthew 28, in Mark 16, we still see the same thing. God's expectation is growth. So when Jesus said, make disciples, cause the word of God, that's what he was saying, to bring about change, growth, increase, development in the lives of men. John 15, 8. You are my disciples when you bear much fruit. Much fruit. Glory to God. When you bear much fruit. Okay? And obviously, fruit or bearing fruit is a process. A process. A journey to make. Glory to God. So, in the school of discipleship, men are caused to be fruitful. Okay? And that will pass for growth, like we've seen, right? Hey, are you there? Growth. Growth in the word, growth in the spirit. Growth by the word, growth by the spirit. Increase in and by the word and the spirit. Amen, amen. So God expects you and I to grow spiritually. Amen. What does it mean to grow spiritually? To grow by spiritual means. Okay? To grow up by spiritual means, or to grow up in spiritual things. Amen? Hey, are you there? Now, let's go to 1 Peter. Let's begin to close for today. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Of course, the word grow is the word oxano, A-U-X-A-N-O. Oxano. And it's a word that, of course, means to grow or to increase. Let's not use grow again. To increase. Or to enlarge. Okay? So depending on context, it will mean to grow up. It will mean to enlarge. It will mean to increase. This word is used 22 times. And you might as well just quickly run through the 22 times right about now. In Matthew 6 and 28, the word is translated grow. It says, consider the leaves of the field, how they grow, oxano. Okay? So speaking about the physical increase and of course the nourishment that the lilies get from the earth that brings about that increase. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 32, it says, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, oxano. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 8, the parable we just referenced, parable of the sower, another fell on good ground and did yield fruit and that sprang up and increased. The word increased there is the word oxano. Okay. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 80, concerning John the Baptist, it says, and the child grew, oxano. In Luke 2 and 40, concerning Jesus Christ, and the child grew, oxano. In Luke 12 and 27, Luke's rendering of what we read earlier in Matthew. Consider the lilies, how they grow. In Luke 19 and verse 13, Luke 13 and 19, sorry for that. 13 and 19. Like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew. Okay? In John chapter 3 and verse 30, it must increase, but I must decrease. Of course, increase there, oxano. Acts 6, verse 7, and the word of God increased. A number of disciples multiplied. Okay, the word increased there, oxano. Okay, the word of God increased, like saying the word of God grew. Right? Amen? And I'm sure you know what that implies. I'm not saying the word of God is getting bigger, rather, influence. Right? Right? Influence, fruitfulness, results. In Acts 7 and 17, but when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied. The word grew there. Oxano, Acts 12, 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Grew, oxano. Acts 19 and 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Grew, of course, again, oxano. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and verse 7, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Gave the increase there, oxano. Okay? So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Again, oxano, giveth the increase. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 10, now he that ministers is to sow, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 10 and 15, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labor, but having hope when your faith is increased, it will be enlarged. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21, where it says, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians 4 and 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Okay? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. We read, starting this service. Right, be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay, so increase. Colossians 2 and 19. Increaseth with the increase of God. Increaseth there. Of course, 1 Peter 2, 2 and then 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. So, in 2 Peter 3, 18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, to grow in grace is to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? So that growth is increase in knowledge. Okay, so we can clearly see that there is need for growth, right? And growing up spiritually, like we said, by spiritual means or in spiritual things. And if we are referring to growth by the Word and the Spirit, of course, that is growing up spiritually. Amen? Amen? And in growing up spiritually, we should expect fruitfulness, right? change, development. We should expect increase. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Okay? Of course, this will refer to offices, right? Offices where God causes men to stand in with his grace on their lives to function there. Okay? Now he says he gave these offices for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of, so the expectation of the ministry gifts before the Father and before Jesus, right, is the perfecting of the saints. He gave offices for the perfecting of the saints. You can say that is the reason why he gave offices. And therefore, that will be the expectation. So for the perfecting, of course, the word perfecting, a word that means to render fit or sound. Katatismos. So it says, he gave these offices for the rendering fit or rendering for the rendering of the saints fit or sound for the work of the ministry. Or if that sounds a bit complex, to render the saints fit or sound for the work of the ministry. So the fruits of the ministry offices, the ministry gifts, will be the saints becoming sound. Amen? The saints becoming sound in the work of the ministry. So that means the Father not only has an expectation of growth and increase, he did something about it too. Does that make sense? That's what we see from Ephesians 4, 11. Sorry, 11 into 12. He did something about it. So it's not like, well, I've done my part, oh, I expect growth, yo. He did something about it too. He gave offices. The men that stand in it, he gave them grace. Ephesians 4, 7. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Why? So that the saints will grow. So that the saints will grow. So he says to render the saints fit or sound for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there's growth, there's increase in the body of Christ. Look at verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, that is, the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen, amen. So it means that in Christ, God's expectation of men is growth. We can even say it this way. Christ is designed for growth. The growth of men. Remember John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So growth is a necessity. It's a must.
It's an expectation in Christ. A necessary and needed expectation in Christ. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. So there's need for everyone to grow. And don't forget, if you're saying grow, you know what that means, right? I mean, one word you can use is fruitfulness, right? Increase in the word and the spirit. Fruitfulness will mean that because of the influence of God's word and God's spirit, a man is changing, transforming. A man is causing increase in the body of Christ, adding increase to the body of Christ. That's fruitfulness. There's, you know, something is increasing, something is becoming better. There's more because of this. Are you there? Are you there? I'm sure that you know that you cannot talk about spiritual growth and not talk about ministry. Right? Because the growth of one is the growth of others. That's the way the body of Christ is designed. The growth of one is the growth of others. The growth of one, I mean, can be the growth of all. That's within the context of the local church. Amen, amen. So growth is a necessity and needs to be regularly checked. Because it doesn't just happen. The Father didn't design the body of Christ that way. Jesus didn't teach his disciples that way. I'm risen from the dead. Growth yafun yafun. Just expect it. No. They were instructed. They were taught. There were things to do. Amen. From Ephesians 4 here, we see that because of his resurrection, he gave offices for the growth of the saints. He did something. He set things in place. So growth doesn't just happen. And therefore the need to be chronicled. The need to be regularly checked. So I'll close with this. Are you growing spiritually? That's the question. Are you growing spiritually? To think upon, to ponder on, and to ask yourself. Not a quick response of yes now, but am I growing? Is there an increase? Fruitfulness. Amen. Let's leave it here. We'll talk more on the effects of this growth and the effects of the fruitfulness. What is this fruitfulness? You know, where are the limits? Where do we look forward to them? Amen. You know, what things can we look at and say, yes, growth is occurring here? Is it limited to knowledge and practice or performance? So I ask you again as it goes, are you growing spiritually? Lift your hands. Thank you. Give him praise. I know the reason I'm asking is not because we're not sure about what we do here or doubting. No. The point is there is a personal responsibility. There's an expectation in the individual lives of the saints. It's necessary to regularly check. Amen. Father, we thank you. Amen and amen.